Okay. Is this Ira?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. So do we have a full complement this morning, Ira?
They're all out there. They're
well, it's hard to say. I think they're avoiding me. I think I've told some bad jokes this morning, so they might be dialing in somewhere else.
Look, as the senior partner, they should be bringing you your coffee every morning.
That's what I'm thinking. I appreciate that. I don't like that senior designation, though. I'm not.
Well, I think you got maybe 1 or 2 years on me. So, you know, there's some benefits to being a very. Well, let's change the name to the very experienced.
Okay, I like that better.
Okay. All right. I think somebody else just joined us.
Jaron joined in the background here.
Okay. Hello, Jaron. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Well, we're just waiting a moment for the rest of the folks to join us. Was just having a wonderful conversation with our experienced, esteemed Ira. We changed the name from senior to experienced.
All right, I'm just going to go on mute and just be in the background, okay?
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
I don't know if you approve of what I've been doing.
Is Jason, has he joined us?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, is everybody on the call?
The Cola Trios are headed down now.
Oh, okay. I'll wait another moment here.
Waiting on one more.
Okay.
Okay, we're all here.
Okay, well, very well. Good morning, everyone, and it's good to be with you this morning. So we have a little bit to cover, but as always, before I start the call, you know, I like to start with your agenda first before I get into the materials. So let me start by asking, you know, after you've kind of gone through some of the materials, are there anything on your minds that I need to particularly address before we get into, you know, the subject matter for today? Ira, got anything on your mind?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay. Jason?
We're good.
Okay. Frank?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Chris?
Good here.
Okay, and Corey, anything?
Nope.
Okay, and then we have our newbie, I think, is Garrett, right?
Yep.
Our newbie, wow.
All right. Well, look, let's get into the material for today. Remember, what we like to do is spend, you know, 5 minutes talking about your agenda, what's on your mind, then kind of going through kind of a review of the material. This is the reinforcement, and then at the end, you know, spend a few minutes addressing any of the questions or concerns you might have based on what we've covered. One of the things that, you know, I went online and just really looked at some of the demographics in Bakersfield, and, you know, obviously there's 376,000 people in that community. And if you went after the top 1%, there's probably at least 3,000 people that you'd like to have, you know, as clients. So that was just one of the demographic things that pointed out. And then the other thing I did is I went online just to take a look at the number of companies that were present in your market outside of the educational institutions. So there still is very robust opportunities that exist to continue to grow and build a business. So, by way of just brief review, we've covered the maximum number of clients that you need to have in order to fully implement the service model, which is 1242. We've identified, hopefully by now, and defined the ideal client, the target clients that you want to have relationships with and do a deeper dive with. We've maybe now beginning to start to think about niche markets. And I sent you an article on niche markets. So one of the things I want to make clear, retirement plan is not a niche. A 401k is not a niche. That's a product. You know, your niche might be small business owners who have 401k plans. It might be nonprofits that have cash flow management issues or endowments. Those philanthropic services, corporate wellness solutions, those become niche markets. And what I'd like you to be thinking about, if you haven't already, to more clearly define who your niche markets are based on the article that I sent you. And there were also a couple of web links in there which move you more toward gaining research on your niche market. So let's draw a brief analogy for a moment, okay? So let's say that my niche is financial advisors and managers in the financial services market. So how do I stay in touch with what's going on in that particular segment? Okay? I'll go online and I'll look at various online publications, such as Advisor Hub. I might look at Trust Advisor, Investment News Daily, RIA Biz, Advisor Perspectives, to name a few. And there's many, many others that really speak to our industry. So if you've identified a niche, to what extent are you going online, getting access to periodicals and journals that really speak to the niche market that you're going after? You know, and for lawyers, you know, it might be looking at an ABA journal to understand some of the nuances in their practice. And then you break it down further into personal injury attorneys or estate planning attorneys. Okay, let me stop there. Any questions about what a niche market is at this point and how to identify them and create areas of specialty? Jason?
No, we're following it.
Okay. How about you, Frank?
Yeah, I read the article and I'm pretty comfortable with it.
Okay. Now, so let me go in and now ask, and you may not have identified them yet, but some of the niche markets that you're thinking about. So let's start with Ira. Have you kind of thought about, you know, a couple of niches in the area of business development that you want to focus on or are focusing on presently?
I've given it some thought, but I've always done the reverse. I mean, I've always gone to what I thought would be a good source of business, and what would, you know, excuse me, what would come from that is what that source would then be referring. So I kind of identified a niche market as like CPAs and attorneys, but more from a referral standpoint.
Okay. So CPAs and attorneys are two of your niche markets. Okay. And how about you, Frank?
Yeah, so I've had referrals the same way from attorneys and centers of influence, I guess, but...
Okay, so what I'm saying now, what I'm suggesting is that you now think more about focusing business development energy on some of the niche markets that are very meaningful, that you're going to continue to cultivate and develop and really understand their needs and the pain points that they have, which then you become a solutions provider. What solutions will you provide the personal injury attorney? Is it structured settlements? Is it annuities? You know, what are the solutions that relate to specific niche markets? So we're going to continue to talk about that when we move toward chapter 9, and we start to focus more on client acquisition. But now I'd like you to think about, you know, who those two niche markets are for each advisor. We'd like to then go from there to talking about centers of influence. And what is a center of influence? It's someone that really likes you, that oftentimes on an unsolicited basis refers clients to you. And what we want to move toward eventually is making that very deliberate. Okay? So, by way of review, we've kind of talked about the benefits of segmentation, that if we're going to employ the service model 12-4-2, then we need to have no more than 100 household relationships per advisor. More than that starts to get unwieldy. Now, let me ask this question. Have you had the time with Cindy to cover the scheduler yet? Has that time been scheduled?
I know because she was going out of town. She had an emergency and then was going out of town, so I think that's being planned for next week, but I have not gotten the confirmation of the actual day and time yet.
Okay. Corey, that particular segment is going to be very, very important for you and the rest of the team, because what that scheduler is going to do, it's going to create process and create regular contact with clients and prospects. We're starting with the clients first, so that's going to be very, very key that everybody try to understand how to use that as a tool for creating process, okay? So, because one of the elements of the scheduler is helping you free up time to very deliberately manage and grow the practice. So that becomes very, very critical. Now, the other key components of segmentation to finish up here is that you've either got to raise your pricing or you have to reduce the number of clients so that you have time to grow your targeted relationships. And I know that's scary, it's counterintuitive, but to shrink a little bit in order to grow and get your very best relationships becomes the key in the process. Okay. So building this great brand is really never easy. So the next thing I want to talk about is the five-star model, which is now beginning to further introduce you into the area of getting organized. Okay, in the five-star model, it's about the delegation of duties and responsibilities on the team. So, one person is kind of the VP of planning. Now, they may have other roles and responsibilities, asset allocation, you know, insurance, so on and so forth, but they are the VP of planning. So they're responsible for making sure that all of the clients have a plan within the team's household grouping. So that's one role. The second role is the VP of plan implementation. Okay, this is a person who has designated responsibility to make sure that plans are not only done, but they don't gather shelf space, that the elements of the plan are being executed upon, which means concepts of estate planning, concepts of long-term care, educational for children, RMD distributions, whatever comes out of the plan, the VP of planning makes sure that those items and many more are being implemented. The third designated responsibility is the VP of brand. This is generally delivered by the client associate, senior client associate, which is you, Corey. You make sure that the FAs that you work with are delivering the service experience. Okay? Now, we'll explore that more when we get into the concept of the folder system and the scheduler. So you become the VP of brand. Okay? Then there's the VP of sales and marketing. What happens there is you're sitting down and discussing, every client has different needs, but once a month there is kind of a focused topic, and you begin to create 12 to 18 month agendas so that you begin to batch process out certain kinds of items that clients are going to be educated on. They're not always going to be buying when you create these agendas. So there may be agendas associated with asset allocation, rebalancing, tax minimization strategies, long-term care. So the team sits down from a sales and marketing standpoint and discusses their strategy going forward. It could even be lending capabilities. But what I'm suggesting here is that when you are on the phone or you're in a meeting with the client and you jump from lending or credit to liability management to tax minimization strategies, the education of the children, it's too much. They get overwhelmed. You might get overwhelmed. You may want to be bringing in a specialist to get tooled up on certain products and services. So we try to batch process these out. So the member on the team would be responsible for moving forward on specified agendas having to deal with sales and marketing. Okay. Let me stop there for a moment. Questions on the agendas. Okay, everybody's with me. All right, the fifth star is the VP of leadership. Now, the person responsible for leadership is making sure that the team stays on point, as opposed to everybody going in a bunch of different directions, but there's no strategic alignment, there's no vision, there's no mission, there's no team value proposition. So the VP of leadership, while this person could be the biggest producer, isn't necessarily the biggest producer, but keeps the team on point and focused. So, the VP of planning, the VP of plan implementation, and the VP of brand delivering the service experience are all client-centered initiatives and roles. The VP of sales and marketing and leadership are more team-focused, delegation of duties and responsibilities. Okay, so now what I'm going to suggest and recommend to you is that you look at the five-star model and try to determine who on the team best fits one of these roles, okay? And that's not to say that one team member or the next team member can't move in and out of these roles, but one person is going to be held accountable to the team to make sure that this initiative is carried out. Okay? You know, I'm gonna use the sports analogy. Okay? You know, everybody on a football team has a role. You know, the wide receiver's got a role, the quarterback's got a role, the tackle, the linebacker, the running back, they all have these specialized roles in order to move the team towards success. And so this is what I want you to think about in terms of the teaming that we are creating here, that you have delegated roles and responsibilities. Okay. Any questions on this? Chris, do you have any questions or any comments on that so far?
No.
Okay. Does all make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Now, the other thing that we talk about in this particular section is a gap analysis for financial advisors, okay? So I want you to think about your team, and, you know, look, we know that, you know, from a teaming standpoint, we're not all the way there yet, but I want you to interact with each other, because this is the precursor to the potential of a team. So I want you to look at planning and ask yourselves the question, do you have a comprehensive planning process? Okay? Do 80% of your clients have a plan? And that deals with execution. Then ask yourselves about competence. Do you have plan, process, and rituals to make sure that planning gets done? Okay? Execution. Fully implemented plan that every client is following some type of risk management model. Okay? Brand and service. The client associate owns the calendar, knows how to implement the 12-4-2 strategy using the scheduling tool. And execution, successfully executed 12-4-2. Rapid response to problems. Now, how do we start to think about measuring this? There's a template in the manual on the game board. So when you sit down on a weekly basis and discuss what you've accomplished, you set out to get 6 plans done, and you got 3 done. So the person who's accountable for that role asks the question, what happened, who fell through the cracks, who missed their appointment, how come it didn't get done, and how are we going to turn that around for next week? Just a simple kind of dialogue like that. Marketing and sales. Consistent, robust marketing plan. Now, when we get to client acquisition, you're going to understand the terms 96, 4, 2, 2, 1. Don't worry about that right now. but it has to do with the qualified prospects that are generated. And there's no cold calling in Supernova. So we're going to show you how to continue to grow and build your business absent of any cold call type of activity. Leadership. Owning the calendar, knowing how to implement 1242, and using the scheduling tool. Okay? So if I walked into your office, there would be five folders on Ira's desk of the clients that he's going to call. And inside that folder has many agendas for each client. He knows what he's going to talk about. They're already scheduled, and they're waiting for his call. They don't just do drop-bys. They don't just arbitrarily call because the clients are being maintained on a schedule. It's just like you go on to the dentist. You don't just stop by, hey, was in the area, thought I'd stop by for cleaning. That doesn't happen in Supernova. As soon as you walk into the dentist's office, you fill out maybe your paper, they pull out the folder, they look at the history, what needs to be done, and that's brought to the dentist. You go in, he does his work. The administrative staff handles your next appointment. Okay. So that's leadership. So go through a gap analysis in one of your team huddles and just ask yourselves, what is your level of competency in executing on the five-star model? And what areas do we need to improve, and who do we want to delegate certain things to? And what I'd like you to do on our next call is tell me who on the team is going to be responsible for what. Okay. Now, you're going to get folders. Let's see how much we got a couple of minutes left. So, try to have a five-star meeting once per week with the game board using that template. And the VP of leadership is basically trying to determine, is everyone fulfilling their job, their roles to the team? Okay. Now, there's a section that gives just a very brief overview of the folder system. So if you have 100 clients, you'd get 100 folders for yourself, and one for each client. So your client is going to get a folder, and you're going to have a folder on that client. So take a look at Chapter 14, just jumping ahead, that gets into what is the makeup of the folders. Okay? And then there's a phone number and a website in the manual for you to order the folders. The advisor's folder is normally blue, and the client and prospect's folders are red. Okay, let's talk about that for a moment. So if you have a prospect, you know, back in my day, we had the metal file boxes. I know Ira remembers that, where we had 3x5 cards with information on all our clients. So what we want you to do now is use the folder system, and the prospects get a folder too with, and we'll talk about what goes in those folders on another call. So the key thing now is for you to be very, very comfortable with introducing the new model to your clients. and your administrative assistant then establishes their 1242 appointments, okay, and then mails them their folder with their schedule included for the year. So there's an agenda. So that's one of the things that we then begin to move toward. Now let me stop right here and entertain any questions or any thoughts on this particular section. This is going to differentiate you among anybody else in your market. Okay. Questions, thoughts about what we've covered so far? Jason?
Well, we're following you.
Okay. All right. Ira, questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Frank?
I'm all right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Then you're following everything. We've had our review. We'll cover the next segment on number four. So your assignment now is to get really, really comfortable communicating 1242. I'm going to make the note in my folder that I will just check and see how comfortable you are with that. So that's number one. Assign members of your team as VPs of each of the five categories in the five-star model. Meet with your team and kind of review your business's competence in those five areas. And you're going to need the engagement of all members on the team to keep up with these three phases. Okay? So that's it for today. If you have questions, I'm available to be called, or you can send me an email with any additional questions that you might think of. Thank you so much for your time today. I look forward to speaking with you next week.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
All righty. Bye-bye.